Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
After the loss of his wife in a tragic accident, artist Danny Gregory chronicled his grief in the medium he knows best, the pages of his illustrated journals. His new book, A Kiss Before You Go, an illustrated memoir of love and loss, reproduces these journal pages in a visual memoir of Gregory's journey towards recovery. Gregory's process reminds us that creative expression offers its own therapy and that living each day to its fullest may be as simple as putting pen to paper. Anyone who has ever experienced loss will take solace, perhaps, in this candid look at grieving. It is a great pleasure to welcome Danny Gregory to the program. Danny, thank you very much for being with us.
It's great to be here.
I appreciate you taking the time, and I appreciate you talking about this this with us. You know, I in what I just read about this creative process, it seems to me that it's safe to say that this volume would have happened whether you published it or not.
It did, in fact, happen long before it was published, in the sense that, you know, it started about 15 years ago where I started keeping a daily sort of illustrated journal of the things that were happening to me, the things that seemed significant, beautiful, and so forth. And when my wife was killed, you know, it took maybe a week to kind of gather myself, but then I started back in on the same process because it was incredibly helpful to me. And so when it came time to publish a book about it, the book was essentially written because it was the record of that year. And all the kind of experiences that I had, the observations I made, the lessons that I learned.
In those lessons that you learned, is how much of that just comes with time and just working your way through the ultimate shock, the worst shock that most of us could ever imagine?
Well, there's no question that time gives you perspective. You know, my wife had been injured before this, where she had been run over by a subway train when my son was quite small. And so she was paraplegic. And so she'd been in a wheelchair for 15 years at this point. So I'd kind of gone through a comparable experience in that, you know, the sudden, from one minute to the next, incredible dramatic change in our lives. But when she died, you know, obviously I didn't have her as a partner to go through it with anymore, and it was up to me. So, you know, it took time to adjust to all these things. But grief is such a strange process; it comes at you like a tidal wave when you're least expecting it. It's not, you know, like a funk that you go into and stay in until you come out of, but it's something where everything seems to adjust back to normalcy. Suddenly the sun is shining, it seems like life is back to normal, and then pow, it punches you again in the stomach. So you're never quite completely out of it. I mean, it's next week it'll be 3 years since she died, and there are still times when suddenly, you know, I'll feel her loss really, really powerfully.
I mean, it seems to me, and just having recently lost both my mother and father, I mean, 3 years doesn't, it's not really much, is it? I mean, it doesn't seem like that long.
It doesn't. I mean, it's, you know, I think one of the things that strikes me is how life has gone on. You know, my son was 15 when Patty died. He's now a freshman in college. You know, things change and move on that she's not a part of, and she's kind of frozen at a certain moment. But I think it's also part of the grieving process, and the positive part of it is incorporating her into my life. So she's still sort of there with me, even though she's in the past, and I still have her as part of me. So 3 years, you know, a lot of things have changed over this course of 3 years, but I'm also imagining that when I'm a really old man, hopefully, you know, I'll still have a kind of fresh sense of her, and, you know, I'll still have an ongoing kind of connection and relationship to the person that she always was.
One of the most heart-wrenching moments is your son saying, when I think about Mom, he says this months later, Sometimes it's like a character on a show we don't watch anymore.
Yeah, it's true. It's like the, I mean, that was really painful to me because I didn't want him to ever lose connection to her. You know, I didn't want him to suddenly feel like she didn't matter or to forget her, really, forget her. And I think that was part of writing this book, honestly, was to keep her alive for him. I showed him the book before it was actually fully published, but when we were in the galley form, I showed it to him. And he read about half of it, and he gave it back to me, and he said, you know, I feel like I went through this already. I don't want to go through it again now.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, in 10 years, when he's married, when he has kids, he's gonna want that time to be sort of, I don't know, memorialized isn't really the right word, but to be able to relive that, to understand the importance of it and how it's bound to shape his life. I mean, his mom was, you know, he was 10 months old when Patty had her accident, so he spent his whole childhood with a mom in a wheelchair, and now he's spending, you know, he'll spend his adult life without a mom at all. So those are fundamental things informing him, and I don't want him to lose contact with that.
You do, I think one of the things that the book brings out is that very delicate balance of, I mean, there's a part that obviously wants to move on with life, and you want that memory to be with you, but you also, you know, you don't want to wallow in the grief and the misery, but then there's also that wake-up call that you get concerned when life does go on and that the memory is receding.
It's true. I mean, guilt is a big factor in that, you know, of feeling like, well, why should I be allowed to have fun? But I also know what Patty wanted from me. And I think, again, her disability was something that led her to tell me time and again, you know, I don't want to hold you back. I want you to have a great life. So I know that she wouldn't want me to be sort of miserable and shut in. But it's still difficult to go through things and think, if only she was here, or she would like this, and so forth. That's, I guess, a struggle I'll have to always deal with.
Talk to us a little bit about the art and of how that comes of the moment and sort of capturing a feeling that you have. And because words, obviously, there is more manipulation you can work on, you can edit, but art is more permanent in that regard, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, drawing for a long time has been a process of kind of observation and connection to whatever it is that I'm drawing. I tend to draw pretty mundane things. I don't draw, like, beautiful landscapes and things like that. I tend to draw, you know, toilet brushes and pairs of shoes and stuff. But for me to be able to spend, to sort of open my mind, I guess, and to look at something really carefully and just be in that moment and to connect with it in a nonverbal way, you know, I think that in the end that observation and that intensity is somehow in the drawing as well, in a nonverbal way. And I feel like that was important to me in doing this book. I felt like if the book was just all writing, it might tend to be maudlin or it might tend to be expected and familiar. But instead I wanted to do something that felt like the whole process is difficult to really put your finger entirely on. You know, you can't exactly describe it. You can't reduce it to the kind of Kubler-Ross stages. There's so much weirdness and kind of magical quality to it. And so the drawing allows me to do that. And I think part of it is also, it's funny, before Patty died, my journal, I was tending to draw increasingly in shades of black, gray ink washes, and very subdued. After she died, I suddenly started painting in the most intense color. Hmm. And Patty loved color. She was in the fashion industry. She loved clothes. And somehow I felt like I was just moved to want to paint everything in intense fuchsias and oranges and so forth. And I think it communicates a bit about how I was feeling about life at that time, that I was looking for beauty. I was trying to stay out of the shadows and dark.
And I think that is why the book isn't, I mean, it could certainly be depressing, and it isn't at all. It seems more of a celebration because of those brilliant colors and beautiful words.
That's what I wanted. I mean, it's funny, after Patty died, several people gave me books, you know, sort of well-known books about death, and they really depressed me, and they made me feel, like, hopeless. And I wanted to make a book that didn't feel that way, that felt like there's possibility, there's still a lot of things to live for, and that the person who you loved and lost wouldn't want you to be miserable. And I just wanted the book to feel that way, so that even if you hadn't personally lost somebody, that it would somehow tap into what's great about life rather than what's overwhelming about death. But also not to be too sort of chipper and Pollyanna about it, you know, to be kind of measured and real and frank. But to say that in the end, I think life is a good thing. So that's what I want the book to reflect.
And it certainly does that. It's gorgeous. It's A Kiss Before You Go, an illustrated memoir of love and loss. The book is published by Chronicle. Danny Gregory, best of luck to you. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing the story. I appreciate it.
Thanks. It was great talking to you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.